The sun had long stopped shining when the guards came for me again. I kissed Miranda and told her I loved her and to trust in God. I was led upstairs along silent stone hallways lit with fiery sconces. I heard noises, followed by smells of food, both of them growing stronger and stronger, till we turned a corner and then, oh, blessed saints, what a sight! A corridor crowded with servants, all handsomely dressed in red and white, holding platters of the very food I had seen earlier, but now cooked and roasted and boiled and stewed and fried in 100 different ways. In front of me, servants held more platters, and upon each one was a swan with a silver crown on its head, its eyes so bright, its plumage so alive, that I said to myself, "These are the best-trained birds in all of Italy." Holy Mother, what an innocent I was. They were not alive at all. But, as I later found out, each one had been flayed so carefully that the feathers remained on the skin. Then, after the insides were removed and the stomach stuffed with egg whites and finely chopped meats, the birds were roasted to perfection. Then the feathers, the feet, and the beak were cleverly gilded back on with saffron-coloured paste, a miracle all of its own. Yet more servants carried aloft spit-roasted legs of goat, tender slices of veal, quail with eggplants, and still more platters of fish covered in parsley and dill. Oy may, I felt faint. The smells invaded my nose. They captured my brain. They seduced my stomach. Years of hunger which had become part of my flesh, pangs of starvation which had burned into my bones, awakened with so great a cry that I had to clutch the wall, or I would have thrown myself at a servant who was passing by carrying a leg of mutton. A short, fierce man with bushy eyebrows and a goiter by his left ear angrily pushed past me and ran from one dish to another, sniffing, tasting, and stirring. This was Cristoforo, the chief cook at that time. Then came the whistling of pipes, the beating of drums, followed by laughter and barking, and the frantic bleating of a sheep. The bleating stopped, and a great roar rang through the halls. The curly-haired youth passed by carrying a bowl filled with lettuce. "You saw Luca," he said. "He was the one who had his tongue cut out." I thought I would shit myself. My miracle had turned into a disaster. When he passed again, I grabbed his arm. But why? For trying to poison Federico. He was the food taster. The food taster? And I was taking his place? I wanted to rip my clothes off, jump through a window and run until I reached my farm, but there were guards everywhere, and now someone was shouting, "Adesso! We go! Now!" Trumpets blared, and then we were marching towards the great hall, and I was fourth in the line. Oh, my soul! That morning I thought I was at death's door, and now I was entering paradise. The smell of orris and rosemary was everywhere. Colourful banners and beautiful tapestries hung from the walls. There were long tables covered in white tablecloths, and vases of flowers arranged so artfully as to make nature herself jealous. Seated at the tables were guests dressed in the finest silk and linens and velvets, all trimmed with beaten gold. Jewels of every kind hung from necks and wrists and sparkled against snow-white bosoms. Musicians played joyfully. Dogs rose from under the tables to watch us. A dwarf, covered in sweat, sat on top of a dead sheep. We stared straight ahead, our heads held high, although I was squeezing the cheeks of my culo together, because of what I'd just been told. By this time, we had reached Duke Federico's table at the far end of the hall. Dressed in a robe of red ermine with puffed sleeves, the Duke was leaning back in an enormous chair, watching us with his little beady eyes. A servant placed the platter with the largest swan in front of him. The guests stopped their chatter. Nero yawned at the Duke's feet. Cristoforo stepped forward, a long knife in his right hand, and a short spear with two points in the other. Squinting his eyes, he studied the swan, took a breath, and, stabbing it with the spear, lifted it into the air to the height of his chest. Then first touching the bird with his knife to measure his aim, he cut 6 perfect slices off the right breast. Zip, 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 zip. all while the swan was held by the spear, and all so neatly that the pieces fell onto the Duke's plate in one row, as if they'd been placed there by hand.
"Stupendo! Meraviglioso!"
everyone shouted. Cristoforo bowed. Someone pushed me forward, so that I was standing opposite Federico, the 6 slices of reddish-brown meat wallowing in their own juices between us. Then Cristoforo picked up the platter, and handing me a knife said, "Taste it!"